In the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, second verse, we found a very beautiful prayer that say, Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhetamastu Mavit Vishavahai. Shanti, shanti, shanti. This is a prayer. It's a prayer of the master and the disciple together. Ask for the benediction of the sky in their spiritual process, retroprogressive process of development. They ask for energy, peace, light, etc., all what is needed. But there is a very curious line that say, Mavit Vishavahai, is they ask that will not be animosity between us. And that sounds to a few so weird. How can be animosity between a master and a disciple? We are accustomed to see around teachers of meditation, satsangs, tai chi, crystals, Kabbalah, etc., etc. And usually we see retreats, courses, lessons of people who embrace one another, the teachers say that the disciples are, the students are their beloved, and instructors say that all the students are their dears, and of course the people who go to pay for their classes and lessons and retreats, they come with their white clothes and their cars, saying that their teachers are the best, unique, amazing, because if not, they would not come. How can be animosity between a master and a disciple? Yes. In spirituality, the relation between master and disciple is one thing. A destructive master and a surrendered disciple is something totally different from a relation between an instructor, a teacher, and a client. Because at the moment there is money, there is no disciple. The moment there is money, there is client. And there is business. And we know in the world of business that the client always is right. Because who depends on whom? Who lives from whom? Every business lives from the clients, obviously. If you open any business, a restaurant, whatever, you need to add something to the clients. You have to give some merchandise for the money. We have PG. If we have PG, people pay for incense, Prabhuji's gifts, and they have to receive incense for what they pay. They pay for a candle. They receive a candle. This is a business. No, and we have clients, the client pays, and receive something. Should add something, because nobody will come and will pay in order to receive a hammer in the head. This is... Can you imagine? It's a hammer in the head. It's no... a real master with a real disciple, the real master, the authentical master, is destructive. And that is a very common critic today in the world, in the society. They say, yeah, but this is a destructive guru. Every guru is destructive. If he's not destructive, he's not a guru. If I look for somebody to develop spiritually, I want to go beyond the ego phenomenon, I need a destructive master. I will not go to somebody who say, my beloved, you are amazing, stay as you are, and you cannot be. So the master is destructive. In Hebrew, we say, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of the day, Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. I situate the divine in front of me always. But this in front, lenegdi, in Hebrew can be translated as against me. Negdi, against me. Because as long as I am an egoic phenomenon, the divine and his representant are against me. They war with me, but against me. It's like you go to the dentist because you have a bad tooth. I need a dentist that is against the microbes. Against. You need a doctor that is against your disease. You cannot be a doctor that works with your disease. He should be destructive. And the master is destructive. So whenever you hear this guru is destructive, that is a guru. And whenever you hear, no, this is amazing, doctor. You only ask me how many days of vacation I need. I am amazing. And ciao. He don't even, yeah. I used to have a doctor like that many years ago when I was young. He only give you how many days you need of vacations and ciao. Doesn't ask anything. Yeah, that is with you. So the master is destructive. If he's not destructive, he's not a master. Obviously. Because the retro-progressive process, the spiritual life, is not about to add something to yourself. It's about to give up. It's not about to add to your life more knowledge, more things, more practice, more techniques. No, it's to renounce, it's to give up, it's to lose. It's to lose. Martin Heidegger, in his book, What is Metaphysics?, he talks about the fundament. And he says something very interesting. To build fundaments, you need to take, not to add. In other words, to bring fundaments, to arrive to the fundaments, like when people of Israel pass the Red Sea, you need to move, to take the waters, and then you can pass and touch what is hidden, the hidden fundament, the basis, what is hidden under the waters. You need to take. And Martin Heidegger say to have fundaments, you need to take, not to add. You don't build the fundaments by put conceptual stones and add concepts and ideas and conclusions and knowledge. No, by taking, taking, taking. And what remains are the fundaments. And only then you can build. Many people are a little confused about the method of Socrates, and they call it maieutica. Maieutica, to give birth, maieutica. But maieutica was not the name of the method of Socrates. The maieutica was only the name of the parts construyens, the mood, the attitude of the parts construyens. Because the method of Socrates was built of true parts. The name was dialectica. That is the name of the method of Socrates, not maieutica, but the dialectica. And the dialectica was made of two different parts, the parts destruyens, the first, and the second, the parts construyens. The parts destruyens was the irony. In certain way, was irony almost to laugh on the candidates to be philosophers. Because Socrates understood that the main enemy of wisdom is to think that you know. When you think you know, I will be your best disciple because I already know this and know that. Then he catch you. You think you know? Yeah, what is your profession? I am a soldier. What is bravery? To fight in the battlefield. So, a chef can be brave? Yes, but how? Then he begin to push and push and push and push with questions until you understand how ignorant you are, until you don't understand something very important. He was destructive to understand that you don't know, and the master know. And if you think you know, you're not ready. The first step to wisdom is to recognize your ignorance. And before that, nothing. So Socrates was very destructive in the beginning, even with irony. And only when he's sure that you are ready, then the maieutica, the parts construyens, the parts construyens. Only when he succeeds to arrive to the fundaments, then we can build something. So please, whenever you hear that this guru, that guru is destructive, that he don't receive you with white clothes, hug you and say, my beloveds, but he accept you with irony. No, something authentic is there. Because many real masters in history end in a very sad way with rejection from the society. Many of them was killed, crucified, like Socrates himself too. Because Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, the divine is situated, the master is situated, the beyond, the truth is situated against you, and you are a egoic phenomenon. Not only sometimes, always. And if you want really to know something of the divine, you need to find, no, don't look in your egoic friends or in your nice uncle. Look somebody who is really against what you think that you are, because only him can show you what you really are.